Welcome back, new You Maniacs, to the Spinner Rack here at Season 4 of the Marvel New Universe Comics Podcast, the voice of the new universe. We are your hosts.
Steven with Psi-Force number 24 and
And Andy, I'll be covering a brief backup story with the president in it.
President. Well, la
Yeah. No Trump or Biden. We're still in
da.
1988 here, but in 1986, the new universe was launched. It was an imprint from Marvel Comics dedicated to a, at least at the time, more grounded and less fantastic approach to comics and world building. The original idea was the world outside your window with real-time progress and greater realism. After the first year, some books were canceled. Although we're seeing pretty much all of their characters in other places, and the remaining books have gotten mostly consistent creative teams, streamlined origins, and becoming more action-oriented as the new universe is increasingly more militarized in the wake of the Pit. Since then, we've seen the United States government drafting paranormals and maybe gearing up for a war.
Oh.
We'll see. I think there's some more hints to that, maybe, in the letters column for this issue, but we'll get there. With our podcast, of course, you can follow along with us every week as we go through each comic in the order they hit the rack, or just check out individual comics if you already have a favorite. You can find us at kickersinc.com with our season four trivia challenge. You can find us on X at Kickers Inc. Right, still waiting for Disney to try and take that one back, but they haven't.
We'll hang on to it as long as we can.
Can buy it back from us for $1 million.
I think the chances of there being a Kickers Inc. Movie in development went from I don't know, maybe a year or two ago, there was like some possibility, but with the state of superhero movies as they are now, it seems we maybe won't have to worry about it too much longer.
No, Kickers Inc. starring Travis Kelce as Jack Magnaconte.
I'll assume that's a cool person for it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Probably only one of the most well-known football players, but okay. Let's get back to Psi-Force.
Is that the Taylor
Yeah.
Swift one? Okay.
This week we got Psi-Force, a group of psychic teenage paranormal runaways bound together by a psychic entity called the Psi-Hawk, now trying to reunite, or effectively reuniting, while on the run from both sides of the Cold War. If they can't elude the draft by hiding in Canada, is it going to cost one of them their life?
This week, Psi-Force number 24. Psi-Force breaks into CIA headquarters, and the effort costs one of the team her life. Tears Hot on Skin Cold is written by Fabian Nicieza, penciled by Mark Bagley, and inked by Mike Witherby. Okay, well, I did know this thing before when I modified the previous paragraph, but
Tears Hot on Skin Cold, though. Where'd that one come from? I
I
got
Googled it
reunited,
and
but one shall die and the living dead.
yeah, I Googled it and neither of those came up with anything useful. The Living Dead is too generic, but I thought that
Yeah.
might have been a like proto like a goth song from the 80s and I nothing came up. Tears Hot on Skin Cold is an it's a nice phrase. I kind of admire it, but it doesn't ring a bell really.
Yeah. Well, so we also get to chat about character death, one of those old-time comic book discussion favorites. Our bonus feature backup story, and then should we lay odds of death on these characters?
Well,
Wayne.
we can lay it now before we read it.
Yeah. So if you don't know, place your bets, write it down now. Of course, it said her. So Wayne may be at 1 in 1,000.
I've got
Tyrone,
Wayne. Yeah, go ahead.
Tyrone 1 in 100. Michael Crawley got here 1 in 10,000. Of course, he's not in this book, so
That's why it would be the most surprising. Hey guys, how you doing? Ah!
I see you've got both Kathy and Stassi at 1-3 odds, and Lindsay Fellman, our new character, maybe more expendable at 1-2.
Those are reasonable odds, I think. The whatchamacallit, her life does suggest that it'll be a female character, and then Stassi and Kathy have been around since issue one. Lindsay since, I don't know, 18, 19.
Yeah. But curse you, Facebook fan page, for spoiling this for me, because I knew it was happening.
I honestly,
I'm reading a post. I did not ever read this book before.
It is so frustrating over there sometimes. It's like, what a nice unused cover you found at a auction. And then like the first comment will be like, hey, this reminds me of how died in number 24. F you.
You just ruined it.
Sorry. Let's back up and edit that out.
I could bleep that, and that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'll make a note. I'll actually try and fix that in post, which is usually just a lie.
Yeah. Okay.
It's in the beginning too, so that's easy. That should be easy enough to do. So, well, anyway, I believe you're in charge of this book.
Must I? It's a Psi-Force number 24, cover dated October 1988, and we believe hit the stands June 28th, 1988. And the cover is pretty striking. It doesn't have any faces, but it has a lot of six outstretched arms, which we can take to be the various members of Psi-Force. The one that's holding the Proudhawk medallion in the middle, and the other is kind of reaching for it. I would say that's Wayne's hand in the middle, but I guess I thought he was going to get those weird knives from Jake Travis a few issues ago or something.
Yeah. He's also colored brown from the wrist down, though. So I just assume, I mean, it looks like Tyrone, but then there's like a spectral uncolored arm on the left, which is probably Tyrone. So,
or coloring perhaps they're both Tyrone. I don't know.
A little bit of a biff.
It's got like, it's kind of just nice graphic design. Oh, Lee Weeks credited in the corner there. And the title, Reunited, But One Shall Die.
Yeah.
Yikes. Anyway, going inside, we actually have a much shorter recap box in the inside front cover. Which just says, just sort of describes each of their powers, says that they were brought together by their mentor, Emmett Proudhawk, and they've been on the run almost for 6 months. Then the story, as it is, begins. And throughout the whole issue, we've got this narration boxes that are sort of a voiceover of it's like an official inquest or something. Department of Defense official inquiry report, Colonel McIntyre Browning filing. So we have our buddy Mac Browning.
I found Mac Browning aside, I found the narration kind of distracting more than helpful. Like, I get what they're trying to do, but I kind of struggled with it.
It has a range of voices, let's say. So yeah, some of them are more interesting than others. It starts off that it is April 6, 1988, Bethesda Naval Hospital. It began here yesterday at 8:38 a.m. So I honestly don't know if we're saying that this is April 6th and it all started April 5th. You think?
It's got to be, right?
Okay. I was like, or did it start April 6th? And this is
like, it is April 6th. It began here yesterday.
Okay.
Probably not the most important part of the book.
I won't move a sentence into this book until I figure this out to my satisfaction. No. So his is that right? Dr. Ballad? Yes, it is. Dr. Lucian Ballad? Possibly Tullius? I don't know. Clarify, please.
Current government stooge.
He's our friend Dr. Ballad from Night Mask has been working at the Bethesda Naval Hospital alongside some of the paranormals there. And we saw in the backup story that they did a couple issues ago in whatever it was, DP7 Justice, that they'd been using Stasi's powers to heal patients, and Kathy was getting fed up with it.
That was the backup in Justice 23.
Thank you. The story opens with a splash page with Thomas and Stasi kissing, probably in her hospital bed. She's in a hospital gown. And there's all this chit-chat from Dr. Ballad kind of talking about what they're doing there, that they'd been, the girls had been there since January. And at about 8:30, these other Psi-Force characters broke into the Naval Hospital. And as we turn the page, we get into our more normal layout of like 50 panels page and 100 words per panel. I should back up a second and say the credits. Once again, Fabian Nicieza is the writer. New artist or guest artist, Mark Bagley, who'd done a Night Mask, I believe.
Starbrand and a couple Night Mask, yeah.
I ran a couple of nightmares.
And I think one Psi-Force.
Did he do a Psi-Force too?
I think so. I didn't write it down, but I thought he did two issues of this one.
Interesting. And Mike Witherby, who's done some of the inking on Psi-Force before, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So they recap some of the previous events. The teenagers from Psi-Force standing around in Kathy and Stasi's hospital room, and with the Dr. Ballad kind of describing vaguely, and some of the we see panels that are memories of the explosion of Sanctuary, everyone sort of running for their lives from the Medusa web, Thomas getting captured, Wayne and Lindsay being attacked by the Max armor driven by Jake Travist. Then more recently, Thomas being broken out of Fort Benning by Wayne, Tyrone, and Lindsay. And that brought them all up to date. What's with Stasi? She's exhausted. Always. It's been like this for months. Kathy describes their situation, which was when Thomas was getting captured, she was getting shot. Potiphar shot her through the chest. As she says, one of the web's more aggressive operatives. She filled him on Inutian's injuries. Stasi had to heal her own fingers, which I did not notice, honestly. She had tripped up the speedster and accidentally killed her. But she had also torn off her own fingers doing that. So she'd put them back on. And then Kathy had a gaping chest hole wound. And Stasi healed that in the ambulance on the way wherever. That they said they'd been since then, she hadn't really recovered because they're constantly using her to heal the patients they bring in. Because they bring in the paranormals who resisted the draft to this, they shoot them or something, and then bring them into this.
Or just a solid beating.
And plus they study them. They've been picking us apart for months now, Lynn complained, trying to find out what makes us tick. Stasi is always sort of, it wasn't as bad as Kathy makes it seem. I've been required to heal other paranormals injured resisting the draft. It's been a strain, but I'm helping people here. Wayne's not having it. It's time we help ourselves. We're getting you out of here now.
No.
What? They all shouted. So, Kathy's like, are you crazy? We're being held prisoners here. Why would you want to stay?
Because I'm helping people. I was given these abilities for a reason, to heal those who need healing. What better place than a hospital to accomplish that?
The others start arguing with her. Thomas, she's right, Stassi. You're being used. The people you're helping are the same people who put you here in the first place and that shoot everyone that they then bring to you.
Right? Yes.
No.
I'm helping those who've been hurt. Hurt by who? This is whom? Whom, Wayne? I know you were a runaway, Wayne, but you can still use proper grammar.
And... You know, there's no way Wayne would say whom.
Come on. Okay. Wayne, Kathy, they all argue with her until finally, she is broken down.
All right, I'll go, but no fighting. No one gets hurt.
Us get into a fight? Never. Wayne is wearing a U2 Joshua Tree t-shirt, and he's joking, of course. Tyrone is floating around as a ghost. They produce some clothes so that the girls can leave. Lindsay said she picked them out and had to guess at their sizes. They get changed out of their hospital gowns. Really, they've been in hospital gowns for like 6 months. Jeez.
Yeah, give some pants, right?
No dignity in this song.
Yeah. Anyway, notably, Lindsay's most useful power is like her dad's credit card, right? Like, she's rich.
She's no Miriam Sorensen, but she's racking it up there. Yeah, she's got shoes and a Macy's bag. So something. The girls look nice when they're leaving. Stassi being wheeled out in a wheelchair. Anyway, they start kind of sneaking out. And Thomas tells Stassi, it'll be all right now, Stas. Everything will be all right. I promise I'll never let anything hurt you again. We're only 2 days away from retirement, and nothing could possibly go wrong. Ballad's voiceover says that's when he got there.
Hold it right there, kids.
What?
Let's be rational about this, kids.
Like, okay, I'm not going to do a Jamaican accent or whatever it is he is. So.
I'm sure I can talk these six paranormals out of escaping with no weapon or power or anything.
I'm very persuasive. I got Nightmask to join the army all by myself. Good for you, dude. That's worked out well. So he says he can have the guards there, but Wayne basically shoves him around. Don't push us around. It would be a big mistake. Stas and Kath are leaving with us. Still a free country, ain't it?
Freeze!
A couple of guards show up. Kathy is not holding back anymore. She just immediately smashes one into a door and one into the ceiling. At the very least, I can say her reactions were emphatic. Kat, I could have taken him out quietly, says Wayne. So quiet is out. Big deal. I want to let these clowns know we're leaving. Kathy heads over towards a window, blows it out, and they all sort of descend telekinetically to the ground below.
As much as I'm don't like the new Stassi, who's sad and just heals everybody, I do like the new Kathy, who's more confident and aggressive. She's come a long way from not using her powers because they were gross, right?
Yeah.
Also, fun to mention, like, did we ever think that we'd get a Wayne Tucker versus Lucian Ballad throwdown?
Odds on that were pretty low.
Yeah.
Pretty low. Yeah, he doesn't need to rough them up anymore, though. They just sort of take off. The kids grab the car and drive past the security gate with Wayne telling the guard to go to sleep or something. And as they head out, they are in a so this pickup truck. So Stassi and Thomas and Kathy are riding in the back, Stassi in this wheelchair. Tyrone's kind of floating along beside them. The others are in the front. Wayne is looking at a map of the where the CIA building in Langley is and says they can be there in 20 minutes. Stas says, "Do you really think this is the smartest thing to do?" And Thomas says, "No, but at least we'll be doing something. It's got to be better than waiting around for them to get us is after us, isn't it?" And Kathy says that it's what you've said all along, I guess. Never thought it was the way to go, but after the last 6 months, they're going to be on us heavy for this, you know. I wouldn't want it any other way," says Thomas ominously.
Not really sure what they're thinking there.
Yeah, to be honest, this was a little like, wait, why? What? I thought the thing was breaking them out of Bethesda Naval.
Right. Like if they were going up against a gang or something, and like they knew they were just going to be hounding them, like let's just go and take these guys out before they can become a problem. But I don't think you can really do that to the government and the CIA, you know? Like even if you killed everyone in the Pentagon, that's not the
Don't I know it? Yeah, it's a yeah the yeah, it's a questionable idea. I was like, are they trying to like erase their records or I don't know, honestly. It's a little like I felt like I was missing something, but speaking of
Plot
CIA.
demands this to happen. So it will happen.
We have a new narrator, DOD OIR File 2, Paul Crawforst, CIA Regional Director, aka
Skipper.
Skipper.
Oh, Skipper. Like, who the heck's Paul Crawforst?
I do like the waspy name though.
Yeah.
Oh, Thurston Howell the Third was already used, so.
Yeah.
He starts describing his previous day that he it was in the afternoon. He went to someone's office to discuss some problems. That other person's name, Derek Shining Star. Oh my gosh, he's also a regional director. He had just returned to active duty following an 8 month censure and internal investigation. He quickly returned to your old tricks, right, Derek? Derek's even got a secretary who to give him the brush off, but he just storms past them. So Skipper bursts into Shining Star's office. So that's what trying to kill several people and you know, turning paranormals into whatever
Assassins, yeah.
assassins, yeah. Oh, you got 8 months of paid leave and you're back to your office. Oh, it's a pretty nice one too. It's got a computer and everything.
sounds about right.
Yeah. And they said the new universe was realistic. This is probably what they had in mind.
He's gotten a little mustache twirly here too, like as a villain. Whereas before, he was trying to cover his tracks. Like it kind of made
I
sense
mean,
that he was after them. Here he's like, these children are mine.
it's yeah he I can only assume that he was like, this is all you're gonna do to me? Okay, I guess I will just assert my you know provenance over these this file and you know it's mine now. So they have a little word at each other, but you know Skipper's trying to warn him off the Cyforce kids. But suddenly there's this hum and there's a light. And they're like, it started as a noise first. What did? The end of the world. And then you just have, from another point of view, you have Skipper and Shining Star kind of look surprised. And then Shining Star whips out a gun and Skipper tries to warn him off. Derek, don't. But he says, Russian pig killed friends of mine. Maybe he's starting to sing something. That seems like a lyrics to a strange Sig Sig Sputnik song or something. Russian pigs killed friends of mine. Anyway. The
I don't know what you're talking about, but it sounds like a thing.
I don't know either. The hand and the gun explode. The gun. The idiot tried to kill it with a gun. And as he's sort of standing there with his what's left of his right arm smoking, Skipper is just sort of caught in a glow, and is voiceover is saying, "That's the last thing I remember, thinking what an idiot Shining Star was. Then I was unconscious. I didn't wake up until this morning." "Well, that's good enough, Skip. How you feeling?" "Doctors say I'll never see again. I'll never walk again. And I'll never live again. Other than that, I'm fine, Mac."
I don't feel bad for the Skipper. He got what was coming.
I would have been happier if Shining Star was just dead there, but okay.
Yeah, I'm assuming he got killed, but we don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of left ambiguous. I mean, if Skipper was that hurt by whatever happened next, in theory, Shining Star would be dead, but you never know. Anyway, we cut to another narrator who is a Donald Parton. This is more like just for humorous effect. He is the grill supervisor of a local Roy Rogers where the Cyforce stop off for lunch. We see them all sitting around a table. Tyrone is looking as normal as he can. And Lindsay and Wayne bring the others some food. "Every man for himself at the Fixin's Bar." Is there even a Fixin's Bar at a Roy Rogers? I don't know.
I've never been to a Roy Rogers.
Sadly, neither have I. I feel like I'm missing something now. I don't even know what he means by that.
It's like where you get the ketchup and the salt and pepper packets, maybe?
I was like, is that like a salad bar? Or is that like the, where you shovel stuff onto an ice cream, all the toppings?
Yeah, fixins usually means toppings, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Dear listeners, please comment below.
Educate us on how Roy Rogers works.
Oh dear. So they sit around talking about what they're gonna do. Wayne's like, "We're just gonna push our way in and breeze on out. Everything will be fine and dandy." Kathy's like, "We could sneak in from the roof with my powers." Everyone's kind of, "Well, with my powers we could do this." And everyone's, "I might be able to disrupt the computers, but I'm not sure that'll do anything useful. Those are just sort of desktop devices that aren't really connected to anything in this day and age." So,
good point.
That Lindsay weirdly offers him some fries or a hamburger, even though he doesn't have a physical body in the state. And Thomas says, "Stas, you okay?" "I'm fine." She's depressed. She's been depressed this whole book, to be honest. "You don't look fine." "Thomas, I'm fine. I just keep thinking we're making a big mistake." "We're not. After today, we'll be the ones in control." "We'll burst into the office of the lead director of the CIA, and then I'll proclaim myself the director of the CIA. And I'll tell the CIA to get off our backs."
So how that and works, if you defeat the current director of the CIA, you become the director of the CIA?
It makes as much sense as anything else.
Yeah. It's
democracy. Anyway, the kid who's giving the voiceover doesn't really know anything other than what they had for lunch. They tell him to get him out of here. And then the six members of Cyforce are now like, "Yeah, I guess we'll just make it up as we go along, play it by ear as usual. Sure, what is this if not fun?" And with the last look at Stas, looking like she's going to just drop dead any second, we head over to CIA headquarters, where at the pickup, the guards stop, and Wayne gives him the push. Yeah, someone's expecting us. Zap, so you can let us through and forget you ever saw us. So the voiceover talks about how they interviewed several people that they do not remember a pickup come through at 1:20 in the afternoon. Wayne is just going through the crowd, like zapping everyone. Don't look at us. We don't exist. And so they could see on videotape later that like all this was going on and everyone was just kind of ignoring them as they walked through the grounds. So they walk through the grounds, and then Kathy levitates them up to the roof. And there's some sort of alarm that went off at this time. Perhaps a remote guard, seeing it through these cameras, could tell something was going wrong. So they get up there to the roof, and they go inside, and there's a bunch of army/guard guys there. And Kathy's like, hey, is this where it gets fun? Yeah, she's kicking it up a notch. Thomas takes it straight to a couple of the army guys. Then they kick a couple more of them down the stairs. Some of them shoot at them. But Wayne gives them the whammy. Hey, Rambo, should I see if bullets bounce off you next time? You might be surprised. Wayne and Thomas are doing like buddy cop movie lines now. Stoss is, as always, put out when she sees that some of the guys are injured. These men are hurt. Yeah, they'll be all right. Let's go. No way. I can't leave them here like this. Zzz. But you have to save your strength. It's too late now. Zzz. Okay, great. I have no reason to believe that it makes a noise, but it's just funny that way to me.
It looks like it could make a noise.
It sounds like you're being electrocuted. No, no, it's good for them. I assure you, probably. Anyway, let's go.
Yeah. I guess to be fair, they're not bad guys. Like, they're just guards, Americans doing their job, right?
Yeah, they're just... Yeah, they don't seem particularly antagonistic. So, I commend them on using non-lethal methods, I guess, to get through them in the first place. But as they say, the voiceover is going, just in case she would need it later. But anyway, they say it's the first mistake they made, but it would prove to be the most costly. So they come to a locked door. Tyrone goes through it and zaps it with a magnetic field and pops the door off. And at this point, I was very reminded of the part in Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
The first one where you go through. That's
exactly what I thought of too.
Yeah, there's a hallway, and suddenly there's just a bunch of dead people in there. And you're like, what the heck? So it's this office area hallway. But they're all sort of darkly colored. But half a dozen or more, like, office drone types lying on the ground. And... you know, there's like scorch marks on the walls. There you can see there's like blood around some of them, like they were thrown against the wall and it, you know, broke. Someone's just like missing their head, or it's smoking or something.
Yeah, I'm guessing head exploded. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember the first issue that guy appeared in had a bit of that. And they're like, what happened here? How come there's no alarm sounding? What? Who did this? Stassi is horrified. What kind of animal would do something so horrible? And they're like, well, we have to know what's here. And the inquest is talking to one of the office workers, apparently, a woman, who's describing that they... she was badly hurt and lying there. The kids come in. Lindsay touches one of the walls to use her power to sort of see what's happening. And she just starts going on about, it's maybe like what Skipper was saying after he got attacked.
I was guessing it was the woman, maybe.
Back to it's noise, heat, pain. Oh God, the pain. I'm bleeding. My arm, my leg. Oh God, help me. I'm alive. He's leaving. So yeah, we're building some suspense here. Sus. Sees the woman behind them. She's hurt, but she's still alive. Yep, there she goes again. Lights up. And she heals the woman on the floor. Thomas berates her a bit. Lighten up, just enough to help her survive. Don't exhaust yourself. Then there's a command. Get away from her. Hands in the air. Don't even breathe. What happened here? Did you kill all of these people? And it's a squad of army guys and about a half a dozen with, let's say, machine guns, M1, yeah. Something.
M16s.
M16, there you go. Wayne is saying, we didn't kill anyone. They were like this when we got here. She was helping them. We're paranorm. They're attacking. They start shooting. Fire, fire. Rip them up. Rip them.
He used the wrong excuse. He should have said, blamed it on the guy who can't speak English or something.
So the woman is saying, I saw all these children getting shot, all of them crying out in surprise, in pain. They never had a chance. It happened too quickly.
Flashbacks to issue 2? Was that when the CIA murdered all of them?
Yeah, I was thinking, yeah, the issue 2, they come back and they get the firing squad basically going after him. Anyway. What you say? That you only meant well, but of course you did. What you say? That it's all for the best, because it is. What you say? That it's the one we need. You decided this. What you say? What did she say?
People getting murdered in the OC?
Yeah, I was thinking that was like what they were playing when that female character died, but it was when she shoots someone else. Anyway, I think there was like a lot of like memes built on that. It's kind of a catchy thing of like people getting shot and playing that tune. Anyway,
not the original intent of the song, I don't believe.
No, I guess not. It's a cute song, but I didn't think I could handle it myself without the auto tune to punch up my voice.
So who's the who had odds on everyone in Psi-Force dies except for Tyrone?
We have.
Anybody pick that one?
It was, it would have been good if they'd have killed 2 people and like, one shall die. Ah, faked you out there, didn't it? We have, the one with no physical form, Tyrone, is the only one who is still moving. He zips around and, with his, I don't know, magic, godlike power, and knocks them out, apparently. Non-lethal methods. He turns back and Stas is still alive. Stassi, are you okay? You're bleeding.
Have to help them. I can heal them.
And she is crawling around and he says, Stas, heal yourself first. You're too weak. Woman says she sounded like she was already dead. So Tyrone is just pleading with her. Stassi, you know how your power works? You secrete an enzyme which helps heal people, but the gland that does it is in your neck? I'm not sure this is the most convincing argument I've ever heard.
Was that from that when they were with that clinic or whatever?
Yeah, foundations.
The foundation.
Yeah, I mean, it was the pseudoscientific explanation for this was kind of, I'm not sure that's as good as you would want. But so he's saying that she's been shot in her neck. So she's very limited, you know, it's limited her power, and she can heal herself, you know, and save her own life. But the others, well, he is basically upset that she would, you know, keep healing them at her own expense. And he, not having a physical body there, can't really do anything except keep trying to talk her out of it. But she doesn't. She goes from Lindsay and Wayne, then over to Kathy.
Kathy, I'll miss you. Hurts.
Tyrone's just in tears at this point. And then finally Stas goes over to Thomas.
Thomas, oh Lord, let me hold on. Just a few more feet. I love you, Thomas. I love you forever.
And as they sort of have another moment of glowing, she passes out and he wakes up. And he screams why and is holding her. And then there's just sort of a black panel with the other five and Stas on the floor.
And then the wall. It's been a good end to the book right there, I think.
It's whatever, yes. It's, I would have liked closed on that moment. It's pretty powerful. But then the wall explodes. and I think, you know, most people would have guessed where this was headed, who was in the building. It's our old friend Rudstvo. And the narrating woman, he glowed like an angel, but his laugh was the sound of the devil himself. And the kids are all linked up by Wayne mentally. That's Rudstvo, the one we saw on TV. Everyone hears me? His fault. He did it. Kill him. And then
I would say the impact of this scene, because he's supposed to be like the big bad and like kind of scary, is wrecked a little bit by the fact that he looks like he's a man genetically crossed with a gumball machine. Right? Like, he's just not threatening looking. He just looks kind of goofy.
Yeah, I could see, like, if he was like on fire all the time or something, would, you know,
they should have just gave us like a face shot or something, like an evil grin or something, because he just was like, hey, I'm here.
it looks a little silly. Yeah, you could I don't know, bump up the size of that, but it's like you got a real like emotional moment there, and then I'm not quite sure how to lay out this better, but to like really give him more impact would work. Yeah. Because I don't know, the we only got a couple pages left. We've got everyone's linked up, and then Lindsay fishes around in her pocket and hands something to Wayne. It's the Proudhawk medallion. What's this thing going to do? It's going to tear that pig apart. Everyone concentrate. And then the narrator continues, well, Colonel Brown, they were silent for about 10 seconds. Then they brought a real angel down to Earth. And in so doing, ma'am, they made this a hellish world for the rest of us. So we have a final page splash of Psyhawk finally back after 8 issues.
Yeah, geez, it's got to be almost a year or something, right?
And unlike that previous issue 2, where Stassi being part of Psyhawk, he basically brought them all back to life. It's already too late, and so the healer is not part of the Psyhawk this time. So don't expect anyone to get brought back to life.
They could have all been brought back to life and been fine if they just if
brought out Psylocke to a minute earlier. Yes.
Shouldn't he have just came out on his own anyway?
He used to kind of do that, yeah.
Hmm. Didn't they chuck that amulet in the woods in like issue 4 or something? And then they didn't even need it.
Yeah. I mean, Lindsay wasn't even with them at the time, so it's not like she had a chance to go back and pick it up, but I don't know. Maybe Wayne was hanging on to it. Unlikely, though, it may be.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what the last moment, last line there, that in doing so, they made this a hellish world for the rest of us. Because, like, it seems to be saying that whatever they, you know, bringing out the Psyhawke made things worse. You know what I mean?
Or, yeah, I guess the simplest answer would be, and I have no idea, just like one of those like super battles where the city gets destroyed kind of thing.
That's, I think you're on the right track with that from like a half remembered more stuff I've heard about than I ever read myself. But
yeah, that part was not spoiled by the Facebook fan page. So,
oh, okay. Wow. That is the end of the story, the main story. There's a letters page, which is thankfully still called Letters to Psyforce.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. What'd they change it to? Like signs or something? I forget.
Does the mic pick up my heavy sigh? I don't know if there I need to up the volume on this.
Paranormal? No, it's DP7.
The Verdict? How about the No?
Yeah. I missed it.
Well, we have a backup story and some other features, but I guess we'll just discuss this one while we got it.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense.
In our mind. Ouch.
Yeah, it was, I mean, obviously it was a really impactful issue. We've been waiting for them to all get back together, and then they kind of finally did. You know, of course, there's 6, and we learned that was sort of like a magic bad number for Psyhawke. So even if they had used Psyhawke, maybe bad things would have happened. It was kind of exciting.
If they got 10 paranormals together, it would be fine again.
Do they have to be psychic paranormals? I don't know.
As long as there's like a divisible by 5, that's my theory.
But I guess. So like 10 would have been like a really, really buff, like Incredible Hulk style Psyhawke.
Psyhawke smash.
Yeah, I mean, I basically spent, I didn't like the narration switches. I found that kind of distracting, you know, because I mean, I get what they're doing, they're trying to kind of do some foreshadowing, but I would have rather had like what the kids were thinking rather than, you know, what Lucian Ballad was thinking. Is not that interesting.
One of the earlier letters columns, like Nisti Izzo was saying that they sometimes use like different narrator or point of view characters to kind of, you know, give you some variety or something.
Right. Which I don't mind in general, but I don't feel like it really worked here, especially if this is supposed to be this poignant moment, especially like the scene where Tyrone is the only one left. You know, and he's watching Stassi kill herself and he can't really do anything. And like, this is supposed to be this huge emotional scene, but I just found myself irritated with Stassi's decision making throughout the whole issue. It's like, she just can't help herself but to heal and like can't even make a considered decision anymore. You know, she's not even like thinking or planning ahead or anything. She's like, oh, hurt person, gotta heal him, gotta heal him, gotta heal him. Doesn't matter if they're going to have to like carry me out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. The naivety of youth, I guess.
I guess.
Yeah, it just, it's well done, but it's a downer. Mm. And I don't know why we were talking, like, what have we got so far? We lost Bucky a month or two ago.
Lost who?
And then we'd lost one of the troubleshooters, Andy, somewhere about issue 5. That was ages ago. And I mean, the thing is, yeah, to me, it's not just that she was one of the, you know, founding members. She was literally the first member we saw. So it always sort of seemed to me like the Psi-Force story was Stassi's story. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like when you start a movie and you have like the new kid who, you know, comes to school or joins the office or something, and you sort of see things through their eyes, at least in the beginning. Now, I'm not sure they really played it that way very much, but...
Yeah, part of the problem being that, like, we haven't seen her as a character do anything in the last 5 issues or so, right?
Yeah, we even pushed it off into, like, backup stories and other
right.
books. So, yeah, to me, like, if you know, were to, you know, I would feel like it was more narratively whole that, like, you begin with Stassi, you end with Stassi. You know what I mean?
Right. You can even, like, do some kind of parallels with, like, you know, Proud Hawk getting killed and here, you know, Derek Shining Star getting killed or something. I was thinking they should have done, like, the Lando thing. Like, what are we going to do? The CIA is going to hound us forever. Oh, why don't we talk to the skipper? Like, he's had our back before. And then he, like, betrays them to the CIA kind of thing. And then it all goes down. And then Rodstval shows up and melts some people.
They were trying to kill the skipper. That would also have made sense. We'll get you this time, man. Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, losing Jean Grey versus losing Thunderbird. You're like, how can
kill
you
kill the Indian?
Yeah, how can you be Psi-Force without one of, you know, these characters?
Yeah, we have the replacement, less interesting character.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can't. Oh, it's also highly anti-Semitic to kill the only Jewish character. Terrible. Very disappointed in you, Fabian. It's not a good look.
We're gonna go back and look at the guide to see if she's practicing or not.
There, I mean, yeah, like you were saying, the last few issues had been so sort of back and forth with it. It also didn't help that, like, we told Thomas she was dead, but she's alive, and now she's dead again.
I lost my reason to live. Now I have it back again. Oh, I lost it again.
What is that? What is that? I mean, I'm familiar with authors kind of losing interest in a character and being like, "Hey, here, check out my cool new character," and all that. But, you know, there was a lot of Stassi's backstory. These like relatives that may have been killed by the KGB, or maybe they weren't. That always left me feeling like there's, you know, towards territory there. And so, yeah, this is disappointing in several ways. We're always saying we don't really enjoy seeing characters die, well, except for Shining Star. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and Skipper getting roasted, I'm okay with.
I'd be okay with blinded or unable to walk. I'm not sure both is. I don't know. But yeah, it's. This is all kind of painful. There's a quote from Animal Man that I think I'll post at some point where it's basically Grant Morrison telling like the character that, you know, we thought we should be grown up and have real mature, realistic adventures. And we just ended up being like violent and bloody. So God help us if that's what that means.
Yeah, that kind of works.
Anyway, yeah. So let's give it a rating, and then we'll like chat about like the odds and like what about the other characters?
All right, Nukin or the Pits?
reluctantly have to give it Nukin, as again I say it's well done, and I really do, you know, it has like a resonance for me. So
yeah, I'm going the pits. I didn't really like it. The direction, I mean, kind of makes sense, but you know, the book didn't really do it for me. Like the story, the narration, the art was a little shaky, and just, yeah, it's not terrible, but I can't call it Nukin. I didn't really enjoy it.
My conflicts will remain internalized.
Hey, we've been divergent on a lot of these lately.
I would say letter wise, I would say A minus maybe.
Dang, well, best I can give is C plus.
Ouch. Okay. Maybe that is heavy. So anyway, my odds of death, Wayne, too much the main character.
Yeah.
But let's see, we'll skip down. Kathy, I don't know. I mean, she's definitely displayed changes and growth, so maybe that would work as well. Stassi, as I said, had various sort of additional avenues of narrative you could explore. That, you know, Lindsay being sort of the red shirt possibility, you know, is like it would upset Wayne, but, you know, beyond that, what, you know,
yeah,
instead, I mean,
Stassi is still an option of like killing someone's girlfriend kind of trope, right? So
I mean, instead of Thomas being like gritty and angry, it would be Wayne grittier and angrier. So
right, best we can figure, Tyrone is unkillable.
See, that's the thing though, he's not, because his body is like being in a coma for months. So, and then like his powers growing, it would actually make a lot of sense for him to have like a big, you know, he's getting more and more powerful, and then, you know, there's a big showdown or something. But then back in the real world, his body is just dying. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that's not what's happening, though, according to the letters page.
Well, it's another, like, to me, Tyrone actually would have been a better choice for that kind of a reason. Like, you could,
because you wanted to kill the only black character.
Look, we all know how I feel about the black characters, but no, the it's like that sort of growth, and then something happens, his like vulnerable real world body, that to me makes sense to me somehow. But you know, it's that's why I gave him better odds than the other guys. I think I even forgot to put Thomas on that.
Yeah, it would have been a fun fake out if it was Thomas, honestly. Like, he's kind of unnecessary. I mean, right,
he wasn't necessary in the first, he's the next newest person after Lindsay, so yeah,
right.
And yeah, I don't know, Michael's a kid, but it still would have been hilarious if he had shown up for two pages just to get killed.
The explosion at the end is Michael crawling like, you guys never should have kicked me off the team. No, wait, didn't you leave on your own? That's not how I remember it. Boom, 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 boom.
And I brought some friends. DDT's attack. The Scorcher goes up against Rudstvo. That would have been awesome. Come on. Come on. Okay.
Confident that he can take on like the second most powerful paranormal.
Let's you want to take the backup story before we head into all the letters and such?
Sure. The backup story. All right. The president's face is missing. So I mean, I'd say we have a fine tradition of backup stories that have nothing to do with the existing story, and but just kind of like randomly fill in moments of the new universe and make connections here and there. But yeah, if you remember way back in the draft, ended with, the least happy drafty, codenamed Blowout, who could explosively teleport, got fed up. And in a wonderful text page, we found that he's still around, still, causing problems. But basically, he like
that ambushed the... said, I don't read.
Right, skip that one. He ambushed the president on live TV by basically like showing up, shouting a few things, and then exploding away. And then the president was still alive, miraculously, and then nothing. We heard nothing. Let's finally catch up to that. So yes, it's only seconds earlier, a man calling himself Blowout transported out of a TV station where the president of the United States was addressing the nation. And you've got Reagan, right? So this is actual Ron Reagan, in his suit, kind of all blown apart, like his face is shadowed, his hair is gone, one shoe is off. This is kind of smoke all over the place, saying, "Someone help me, please." He kind of puts his hands up to his face, saying, "My face feels like it's peeling off. Am I dying? I'm sorry, Nancy." So again, like probably the only reminder that this is Reagan. And then we get these goofball Secret Service agents.
I was like, are these supposed to be like, like a parody of the Miami Vice guys or something? I couldn't figure it out at all.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. But there's a tall, thin, white guy with like blonde hair and the handlebar mustache, and a short black guy with sunglasses and like a small afro. We got Carter and Strawberry. So again, like pretty cartoony. So they're just like standing outside the building where when the windows blow out, they call in, but there's no response because all the guys inside all got knocked out or killed. And there's like no answer. Strawberry, what are you doing? We can't abandon our post. So it's like he's gonna wait outside when the explosion's in. Strawberry starts pulling on the door, but it's locked. They're like, again, like the world's worst Secret Service agents can't even get into the building. He's like, "I'm gonna shoot the lock off." He's like, no, wait a second, Straw, use your head, the broken glass, we can just unlock the door. So like we get these buffoons. Meanwhile, the president's
so the president appeared in Starbrand when Ken Connell dropped off the lunar module on the White House lawn or something. And I think that was like, it was a different Secret Service guy that he was around him, like that doesn't show up in this at all. Which,
oh, did you check?
I just remembered it being like Murtaugh, Maddock or something like that.
Murtaugh, that's Lethal Weapon, isn't it? Anyway,
we steal from the best.
President's like holding his hands on his face and like trips over a body. Carter and Strawberry rush in to kind of grab him. And he's like, "I should have ducked, men. At least my hands are unstuck." And so they look at him and like look back in horror as the president's face is kind of half burnt, half Play-Doh. And like his hair's gone, there's little sprouts of it. And like where he was holding his hands over his eyes, he's like left imprints, like his face is made out of clay. He's like, "Oh, what's wrong? Is it that noticeable?" So they throw a suit over his head and kind of walk him out. We get a little clip of a guy watching it on TV, and he rewinds it for his parents. "Oh, you guys always rib me about taping the president's speeches."
Mandrake from the Secret Service.
All right. Never thought we'd be talking about that character again. I forgot, in the smoking ruins of the president, written by Peter David, pencils by Chris Ivey, inks Mark McKenna, colored by Mike Rockwitz. So
all right,
the return of the Rockwitz.
You may I don't think we brought it up, but our interview with Mike Rockwitz is still a lot of fun stuff there. If you haven't listened to it already, listeners,
download, like and subscribe,
hit the bell for notification. Never mind. Back to the story.
Shovel money in our general direction. So yeah, they rush him into a car or an ambulance, and show him his face in a mirror. He says, "Ooh, my, Lon Chaney would have been jealous. Grecian formula won't help this." So, like, two fun things I had to look up. Lon Chaney,
Chaney
the
was the
man of
man
a
of a
thousand
thousand
faces. Yeah.
faces. Yes. Grecian
Movie.
formula is hair dye.
Yeah, which apparently had lead in it.
That's interesting.
Good old Wikipedia. They didn't remove the lead until like 2002 or something ridiculous. A lead acetate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lead acetate was a used as a artificial sweetener by the ancients.
Yeah. This is not their best move.
It has bugged me ever since that, like, you know, perhaps on my deathbed, I can talk someone into giving me some lead acetate to try out.
Just not try it.
Go out the way. This was great. I'm so glad I got to experience it.
Yeah, that would be an interesting, like, could you get it on your tongue and then get it off, right? Like, so you taste it and then whoosh, maybe. Maybe it's still probably not smart, but. So Riggins is like, believe it or not, I'm not in pain at all. And he's like, the handprints go away and he starts kind of touching his face and like rearranging it into, I don't know, Norm MacDonald or something. Like, it's just, it doesn't look like President Reagan.
Let's just say, for as cartoony as the Secret Service men are, it's not like a caricature of Ronald Reagan, which you could do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just looks very generic in the end.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's intended, as in like he doesn't look like Ronald Reagan anymore, because he says, you know, we get a little clip of that later as like call the portrait painter and have him stop work immediately. But yeah, maybe like he hasn't rearranged his face to look like himself. So I don't know. It's confusing. His hair grows back. His face hardens. He's Clayface now, apparently. Carter and Strawberry are like, what? We can't let this go public. You know, our president's a paranormal. So they basically shuffle him off into Air Force One, keep the press away, you know, keep him kind of bandaged and hidden. And head him back. And again, like, somebody, do we know who Ponytail Guy is?
I do not know.
I don't really know. He's like, where are we
the
going?
Ambulance drivers? I guess,
yeah.
The top of the page 28 on the left, that guy.
Yeah, I guess he's maybe one of the EMTs. He's like, you're the president's personal paramedics now. And then it ends with Ronald Reagan calling Nancy Reagan. He's like, no, I'm fine, really, but I need you to do something very important for me. Call the portrait painter and have him stop work immediately. Finn.
Finn, indeed.
That's such a weird little interlude. I hope.
Reagan had been shot, you all remember.
Yeah.
So there was an assassination attempt on him at one point. So is it really in good taste? I'm not sure. It's a little weird, and it doesn't really, I mean, it's not like they're going to start a spin-off comic starring President Paranormal. It's like, who, you know, someone sneaks into the negotiating table at the summit and, you know, offers the Russians a great deal and then leaves, and they're like, who was that? And he comes back a minute later. Well, guys, did you like our new assistant's offer, or should we take it or leave it? I don't know. I don't know.
This would be like the end of his presidency, right? So
that's the thing. It's like months away from the election. You are in the middle of summer of an election year. To say he's a lame duck is understating the case. So, yeah, I'm not quite. Was this all meant for comedy or something? I don't know. If there was more to it, it eluded both of us.
Yeah, it's just felt kind of random, so I don't really know what to make of it.
Considering
seemed like an important loose end to be tying up to like turn into like a goofball thing, but there it is.
If you're going to, well, I don't know. You would have like an election, like a, you know, a paranormal who was being elected to be the next president, right? So anyway. Hey, yeah, we're at a loss to explain it. So perhaps we'll just leave it. We don't grade these. So,
yeah.
I mean, in considering that the other backup stories have touched on what's going on with Mutator or Shrapnel, I mean, okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing we'll get a blowout one at some point then at that rate, but.
That would make sense, yeah.
It'd be kind of hilarious if they just never bothered with including any of the draft characters in the story from here on in. Just like, yeah. We spent a lot of time on this flying hubcap guy, but I don't feel like writing him anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's, well, anyway. Let's take a quick look at the letters page. There were some interesting questions and comments.
Yeah, tidbits.
Please don't kill Kathy. She's one of the bright spots of this book. I love her, so please have Stassi heal her or something like that. This is after she got shot in 20.
Yeah, I was thinking the same stuff after that. I thought that was a much more effective issue, actually, where the Medusa web like finally caught up to them and everybody was going down.
It's a I don't know. It's hard to not be spoiled, and the vibe I had for that one was that she would not be killed. So.
Yeah. But yeah, and the answer to that, you get the glad you have tuned to the new you, Chad. Working backwards, yes. Pittsburgh was a great shock indeed. Parentheses, wait till you see what we do to Washington, D.C.
All right.
Which, like, when I read the letters page, I was like, oh, geez, like, what's going to happen to Washington, D.C.? But then I guess I can kind of assume we're foreshadowing the throwdown between Rodstvow and Psyhawk then at that rate. Like, maybe that's next issue we find out what happens to DC.
I'm hoping, yeah, that'll be something worth seeing. Oh man, the Medusa web was created and named by Fabian Nicieza, and he had like a lot of things that he ran by the editor. So Fabian, I guess this was, like we said, probably his first regular writing assignment, and so he had like all this built up whatever ideas, like all ready to go. So Kathy's not dead, but you're one of the few writers who has ever stood up for her. Ouch.
Jeez, yeah.
You want to see more of Ron Lim's artwork, you're going to have to see it over in the action-packed pages of Silver Surfer and Solo Avengers. He'll be around here occasionally, too. Yeah, Ron Lim has, I think, already joined Silver Surfer, which one of the Marvel Ages had in the top 10.
Even yeah, somehow.
So, yeah, he has definitely been picked, like, booted up to the major leagues already.
Yeah. I feel like Silver Surfer, that's like going to the Cleveland Browns or something. I guess probably another reference you won't get, but it's a bad thing because I don't care about Silver Surfer.
I just remember Surfer was not like on my like yay list. It was like, oh, it's here. Okay. So yeah, it's, I don't know if that run, it went on for a while. I think it must have been like a good 5 years of that book, but
yeah, like Ron Lim, so maybe it's good.
Yeah, he was on that for a while. I'm now forgetting, but yeah, I mean, for him, good. He got recognized as, you know, turning in exciting work. Like, we were really like impressed by how sort of proto 90s it was. So
yeah. I think Bagley at this point is kind of like, I looked up his bibliography and it seemed like 88 and 89, he was doing all the annuals. So it was like they're finally starting to throw him regular work, but just in all the little side stuff. And I think maybe he had a run at the end of Strike Force Morituri as well. But
okay.
Then like 90s is when he really started to kick into gear a little bit with more regular stuff. But
Yeah, he's I mean, a little rough in spots, but you know, he definitely becomes a real pro with a long and distinguished career. So it's it's good to remember he started as the winner of the official Marvel tryout book. I always was impressed by that.
Yeah.
They say that the comic book stores in Manhattan consistently sell out of Psi-Force.
Hmm.
And as you had tried to find the origin of the previous title, The Girl with the Faraway Eyes, it does relate to a Rolling Stones song, I guess.
Yeah. Did I figure that one out? I feel like I had figured that one out.
You said that was the closest thing you could find, but it seemed to be mostly drug references than anything that was story related.
Yeah, that's right. The lyrics were terrible.
So,
I like the next letter. The guy said he wanted to start a Psi-Force fan club. So, like, should we write to P.O. Box 45, Glencoe, Arizona 72539 and see? Like, Psi-Force fan club.
Is
this still a thing? Did you ever get this started? Let's start it now.
We call it the I don't want to subdivide up the new universe fandom, but you know.
Hey, if we don't
always add to it, you know what I mean? Let's see.
Yeah, they talk about Tyrone's body, how it's been severely burnt. Oh, this is a question. Now that Tyrone's physical body has been severely burnt and resorting to his astral form, what's keeping his physical body alive? And he's like, you raise an interesting idea about Ty, but based on an incorrect assumption, Ty can't take over a body. I skipped over that part. Alive or dead, the most he can do is pass through it and cause havoc. His body is healing slowly but surely, as was seen in issue 20. More on that soon. So, and Lindsay, she will be a permanent fixture in this book. So, maybe she'll become more interesting. I don't know.
Anything's possible. Someone asks for a Canadian paranormal, and he says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you already have a Canadian paranormal. His name's Backfire.
This is the last letter. Yeah, this was good because Leah Silverman of Ontario, Canada has got our gripe down, right? The last few pages on the sublet were great. Nice to see someone else in the suit, even if he is deranged. One thing, though, as Spitfire was really Jenny Swenson's nickname given to her by her father, shouldn't the suit have a new code name under its new ownership? Right?
Right.
And then she says, how about Airstrike? What do you think? It's not bad.
I'm willing to do it. I mean, it would be great if you had multiple suits of armor and each one had its own cool code name based on its operator. Yeah.
The government clearly has no problem sending Airstrike over to, you know, poorer countries to cause problems and stuff. So
instead of being like, oh, Spitfire did this and Spitfire did that, and Jenny Swenson sitting around somewhere in a hospital being like, Spitfire did what? Why do you keep looking at me like that? they seem to like it as well. As for that nifty Airstrike code name, don't be surprised if it doesn't pop up.
Yeah. And it says, right now we're working on a backup Medusa web story that'll wrap up those Jake Travis loose ends pretty neatly. So,
Anyway. Next issue.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to jump to the next issue box. Anything else on that?
No, that's fine.
Next issue. This is the big one. We are up to issue 24, folks. 2 years of this title and heading into a 25th anniversary. Anyway, this is the one you've been gearing your towards since issue 16. Psy-Hawk versus Rodstvow. Only one survives. A full-length 28-page spectacular. Don't miss it. Or the tie-in happening in Justice 24 on sale this month. Man.
Jeez.
The ideas are spilling out into every other book. We're going to have to give... Fabian wants, you know, six pages in every other title, his own title. And
can Psylocke even die?
It's not like the medallion could get destroyed and they wouldn't be able to summon it. It was like just the combination of all of them. So as long as they exist, he would exist, I would think.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. Do we got anything else in this?
I feel like that's got the letters page pretty well covered.
Let's call it a day then.
Yeah.
Save the universe news for later.
We'll imagine that we'll have a shorter one in the future sometime. But yeah, that's it for this week. Only one character dead. Next time.
What a relief.
Next time, the new universe checks in on our displaced paranormals, plus a cast of thousands. DP7 number 24.
EP7 number 24. Mastodon's decided he has to get out of the army, no matter what. But is his only way out suicide? Enough is written by Mark Gruenwald, penciled by Paul Ryan, and inked by Danny Bulinati. What is going on in the new universe? Jeez.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. We got one of those, like, when the comedy show has like the serious issue, like some, like one of the main characters is like bulimic or something, and then they get all serious. Is that what we're doing?
That's about how it feels. Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's less depressing than it sounds. Meanwhile, kickersinc.com is the website. newuniversepodcast@gmail.com is the email. This has been the voice of the new universe, and we'll see you back at the spinner rack.
It's your universe, idiot.
It was only supposed to make a buzzing noise.
Every man for himself at the fixin's bar. And so Sally can wait. She knows it's too late as she's walking on by. My soul slides away. But don't look back in anger, I heard you say.